Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, God. Lord, I just come to you, God, and I ask that you anoint this word, Holy Spirit, that you show up powerfully in the lives of every person that's here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that your word would go forth, God, that you would anoint, God, what it is that you want to say and speak what it is you want to speak tonight, Father. God, I thank you that we get the privilege, God, to come into this place on a Sunday night, Lord, and just minister your word, God, and gather together, God, in your presence, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for these opportunities that we have, God. I pray tonight, God, that you would touch every life and every heart that's here. Let your word go forth, God. Not one word fall on the ground, God, but let pierce the hearts of each and every one of us, Lord. And Jesus, we don't think of ourselves only tonight, but we lift up all the churches who are preaching and teaching your gospel all over the Inland Empire, God, and really all over the world. Bless them, Father, in the same way, God, that you bless us. In Jesus' name. We all said? Amen. Well, tonight, if you open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 54, I'm going to read a couple scriptures out of there, and then I'm going to dive into Matthew chapter 14 and tie the message in. But I just want to give you a little disclaimer up front about this message. I believe this message is going to not only challenge you, but it's going to excite you. I believe this message that God has deposited in my life to share with you is something that I'm walking in as well. And I know this, that whenever we get up and we get the privilege to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, that God speaks to us. And a lot of times we're going through some of the things that we talk about. But tonight, I feel like all of us, sometime in some place in our life, we're going to experience these kinds of things. So if you have your Bible, go with me to Isaiah chapter 54, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. And it says it like this. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And it says, enlarge, say enlarge. No, say enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch. Say stretch. I want to hear you say stretch louder. Good. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make it desolate cities inhabited. What I want you to understand here is in Isaiah chapter 54, we see God speaking to the people that have had hardship and loss. During this time, the Israelites had experienced exile, devastation. God promises restoration and growth. How many know that our God is a God of restoration? How many know that our God makes promises and his yes and amens are forever? Come on, somebody. How many know that when our God speaks to us, he's going to give us the truth? And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth, right? Because we're not ready for the truth, but we know when it comes from God, we need to be prepared to hear what God wants to speak to us. He doesn't always speak the things that you desire to hear. God doesn't always speak the things that you desire that you need to hear. But instead, God speaks to you what he wants you to hear. And a lot of times, we want to hear what we want to hear, and we want our thoughts to be our own thoughts. But when we walk in our own ways and our own thoughts, we need to realize something. That's not going to get us much in anywhere in life. But when we learn to follow God and come underneath God in his ways and his thoughts for our life, here's the thing. It will change our life forever. Matter of fact, it'll put you on the road to your destiny where God wants to take you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've titled this message, Stretched Beyond Your Limits. How many know that when you stretch, it hurts? If you're a runner in this place or an athlete in this place, and as you get older, your stretching hurts even more. But stretching can hurt us a lot. In the physical, it hurts. You know, recently my trainer had me doing these weird stretches because my shoulder was injured, and he's trying to get my shoulder back into place and get it back into shape and without surgery because I'm like, I don't want surgery. So he's working with me, and the stretches he has me doing are like impossible. They hurt. And he has me doing these stretches, and as I'm doing them, I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm just in a place of like, man, this really hurts. This sucks, man. I don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't want this. But then I realized something. And this stretching in the physical hurts. But how many know stretching in the spiritual hurts just as much? Come on. How many know when God enlarges your tent that we pray for and we ask for, we're not sure what we're getting into, but are you willing to take the stretch to reach what God has for you? And a lot of times we want the tent to be enlarged. We want the place to be a bigger place. We want our thoughts to be greater thoughts. But yet we hear God and we're like, whoa, I don't know if I can make that stretch. That's a little too much. But we're praying and asking God for it. And the Bible says when we pray and believe, we'll what? Receive. And so we're asking God for something, But are we ready to really take from God what it takes to get to what we're asking for? See, when you have in a large place, that means you can have more challenges. That means you can have more issues. That means you're stepping in a place of faith where you're not sure where you're going or what's going to happen, but you're enlarging and you're testing and you're trusting God where he's going to take you somewhere. And so tonight, I want to give you a few things that I believe will help you when we're in the stretch. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to stretch. When being stretched, it gets us out of our comfort. How many would agree with me when you're being stretched in places in your life, it gets you out of the place of being in comfort? A lot of times we're in a comfort place or a comfortable surrounding, but yet God's stretching us to a new place and a new surrounding. And a lot of times when we get stretched to a different place or to a new surrounding, here's the thing, it's not always the most comfortable thing. And a lot of times we have to realize something. Not everything that we do for God is going to be comfortable. Matter of fact, 90% of the stuff that I've done for Jesus hasn't been a place of comfort, but God has taken me out of a place for comfort. And I believe tonight, he's going to take you out of that place, give you a stretch, and get us out of a place of comfort. See, in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You guys know the story. If not, read about it. It's a great story. But following this, Jesus sent his disciples out to a boat. And when they got on the boat, they were faced with a storm. Now, the boat was a place where the disciples were in. The boat was the place where the disciples did fishing. The boat were a place where the disciples also ran into situations. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 24 through 27, it says it like this. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost! I don't know about you guys, but if I was out in the ocean and I saw somebody walking on the sea, I would like double check my vision and be like, what is that, right? Like, and so all of a sudden what happens is they think it's a ghost and they shout it out, but he says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I do not, and do not be afraid. See, I've always wondered this sometimes, but and I've tried to find it, and I can't find it, but the Bible is not very clear about how much time the disciples actually spent in the boat. It's not very clear about how much time they were in the water, how much time they were in the boat, but yet, as a fisherman, you're in the boat quite a bit. And if you're in something quite a bit, here's my thought. This is just my thought. It's not thus saith the Lord, but here's my thought. If you're doing something normally, over and over, you begin to become what? Comfortable. And I believe this, I believe that the disciples found themselves in a place of being in comfort. And I believe that boat was a place for them to have comfort. But then all of a sudden things were interrupted by Jesus walking on the water. And when he began to walk on the water, it put a fright to them and they came out of their comfort place. And they came into a place of being uncomfortable. How many times have we been in a place of comfort, but yet now we find ourselves out of a place of comfort? How many times in our life do we get into a place of being comfortable in the things of God and things are going great in our life, but then all of a sudden we find ourselves not being in that comfortable place anymore? And see, here's the thing. If you want to grow in your relationship with God and you want to grow in your walk with God, you're going to have to get out of a place of being comfortable. You can't be a comfortable Christian and do great, extraordinary things for God. You can be a good Christian, and you could be a Christian, but I believe this, God is calling people to do extraordinary things, but it's also going to take a place of shifting out of your comfort zone. You know, I've talked to many people in ministry and even some on staff that have left a professional careers to come work for the church. I've talked to many people who have left professional careers with a great amount of income to go do what God's called them to do. And I've talked to people who are missionaries who just get a word from God and they jump on a plane and go to another country and I think you're crazy. But they're not staying in their comfortable place. And I believe this, if we're gonna grow and we're gonna be stretched, it's gonna get us out of our comfort place. It's going to get us out of a place of being comfortable. You know, a young eagle in a nest is in a comfortable place. They're high up on a cliff, but they're sheltered and they're safe. The nest is comfortable with soft bedding and the security of knowing that the mother eagle provides food and protection. But as the eagle grows, it begins to feel an inner restlessness. Its wings are strong, and the urge to fly grows stronger every day. One day, the mother eagle comes to the nest. She begins to stir up the comfortable bedding and pulls apart the nest, making it less comfortable for the young eagle. She might even nudge the young bird to the edge of the nest, encouraging it to step out. The young eagle is frightened and unsure, resists. It's safe in the nest, and the idea of leaving it behind feels terrifying. The idea of soaring into unknowing and facing the wind and the vast sky seems overwhelming. But the mother eagle knows what the young eagle doesn't. It is time for it to fly. The mother eagle pushes the young eagle out of the nest, and for a moment it plummets downward, panicking, but then its wings open and it catches the wind. With each beat of its wings, the eagle rises higher and higher, soaring freely in the sky. What seemed like a terrifying push from the nest was actually the moment of its greatest growth. The discomfort of being pushed out of a safety of the nest led to the eagle's discovery of its true potential, the freedom to fly, the strength of its wings, and the joy of soaring. Pastor Donnie, what does that have to do with me? Why would an eagle have something to do with me? Here, check this out. I'm going somewhere. Watch this. Just like the young eagle, we sometimes find ourselves in a comfortable nest where life feels predictable and safe. But God, like the mother eagle, knows that we cannot grow and remain there. He sometimes nudges us. Wait a minute, does God nudge us? He sometimes nudges us, steers up the comfortable surroundings, and leads us out of our comfort zone. How many know that God wants you to come out of that place of comfort tonight? He'll nudge you, he'll poke you, and he'll push you out of places where you're comfortable. In my life, I have never found it a place where I feel so comfortable that God doesn't move me to the next season. I've been in many places and many times in my life, and even in ministry and jobs, and I got into a comfortable place. I got to know everything in the job and was able to do the job with my eyes closed and remotely and do all these different things. And any questions that would come in, I'd be able to answer. But then God was like, you're too comfortable where you're at. I've gotten to a place in ministry at times where I was too comfortable where I was at. And God said, listen, I want you to grow, and I want you to become who I've called you to become and do what I've called you to do. So I got to give you a little kick out of the nest so you can fly and do what it is I've asked you to do. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, we are constantly being stretched by God. The more we allow him to work in us, the more we begin to express the fullness of his calling in our lives. The more we allow God to work in us, the more we submit our lives to God, the more we get out of the place of comfort, the more we get into a place of healing and a place of just security with God, that's when he'll take us to a different place in our life. That's where he'll build something inside of us, a momentum inside of us that will not only change us, but change the people around us. Because there'll be such an excitement and a such push for God that people will catch the fire and catch the glory of God in your life. Why? Because you're out of the comfort zone of your life and you're doing what God has asked you to do. Peter jumped out of the boat. He didn't hesitate, and he did exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. Are we willing tonight to do exactly what Jesus calls us to do? I don't know, Pastor. It's a tough question. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my income? What if I lose this? What if I can't make my car payment? I can't answer that for you, but here's what I know. When you put all your trust and belief in God, here's what I know, that God will come through, God will show up, and God will get you to where he wants to take you. Why? Because you're not leaning on you, but you're leaning on God and you're trusting God. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. When being stretched, we're talking about when being stretched. The next one is this: requires obedience. Obedience. but it requires obedience when being stretched. Check this out. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 29, I told you we're hanging out in Matthew 14 tonight. In the New Living Translation, it says this, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over to the other side of the boat and walked on the water." As Jesus said, "Come," there was a reaction to what Jesus said. And the action to what Jesus said was this. There was no arguing. There was no questioning. There was no reasoning. It was this: "I'm going to do what you command me to do. I'm going to walk in full obedience, Jesus, because you said to come." And as he steps out of the boat, he begins to do something that nobody in this room has ever done. If you've done it, I'd love to know, and shake your hand after service and maybe wash your feet, because it's an amazing thing. But he began to get out of the boat, and all of a sudden, he walked on the water. He walked on the water. He didn't walk 3 feet in the water and went up to his knees. He walked on the water. In other words, a miracle took place when he walked in the obedience of his stretch. See, your miracle is in the stretch. Look at your neighbor and say, "Your miracle is in your stretch." The miracle you're waiting for, the miracle you're believing for, it can be in the stretch that God is asking you for. It can be in the simple belief that God's asking from you. It can be in the simple trust that God is asking for you. It can be in a simple place of God asking you and commanding you. But when we don't follow in obedience, when we follow in disobedience, guess what we might end up doing? Missing the miracle that God has for our life. See, my thought is this: if Peter would have never got out of the boat and didn't believe it, he would have never experienced a miracle and walked across the water. But because he believed what God was saying, and he got out of the boat, and he didn't hesitate, and he ended up stepping on the water right away, all of a sudden he began to walk. It could be tonight that God is asking something of you tonight. Let me ask you this question. Write this down. Where is God stretching you in? Where is God asking you for a stretch? Maybe he's stretching you and wanting you to grow in your relationship with him. Maybe Sunday and Wednesday is just not enough for you. And he's saying, "I want your attention fully, 24/7. I want you in my, I want to be in your life, and I want you to spend time with me." Maybe it's becoming a volunteer in a ministry. Maybe God has been saying to you for a long time, "When are you going to volunteer? You're sitting long enough in church. You're getting the word. You're here all the time. You might as well just jump into the children's ministry or youth ministry or the main sanctuary, wherever it is that you want to volunteer, worship team, and become a volunteer in the house of God." I don't know where your stretch is. Maybe it's that. Maybe your stretch is in starting a new business. Maybe God has put something on your heart and you've been afraid to step out because in the past it failed, and God's saying, "I want you to step out. I want you to do this. Here's what I'm asking you to do." Maybe your stretch is in starting a business. Maybe it's in making a big business deal and learning to trust God in it. Maybe your stretch is what Pastor Joel preached about last week, and it's keep your mouth shut. How many know that's a stretch for some of us? Some of us got a motor mouth, man. We just want to keep it going and going and going and going like that, right? And maybe God said, "Hey, you need to shut that mouth. I need you to be a better listener than a talker." Or maybe your stretch is believing God for healing. Maybe you're tired of feeling the way you felt for years. Maybe you're in a place in your life and you're like, "I feel like this all the time." And maybe God's saying, "All I need you to do is trust me. All I need you to do is trust me. Don't put so much trust in the healing." Oh, come on, somebody. Don't put it in the healing, but put the trust in your God. Maybe your trust is just someone you know to bring them to Christ. Maybe there's somebody in your life that God's put in your heart and you've been ministering to. And now you're at a place and you're ready to invite Jesus into the heart. Listen, I don't know where your stretch is tonight. You know where that is. That's between you and God. But here's what I believe, that you're going to hear what God is speaking to you, and you're going to obey what God says, and you're going to step out and do what God is asking of you to do. Because when you do what God is asking you to do, and you put your foot out there in the stretch, God's going to meet you right where he needs to meet you. In other words, you go halfway in, he's going another halfway in. You go fully in, guess what? He's going to go fully in and meet you right where you're at. Whatever area it is, allow God to stretch you and help you walk in your obedience. Whatever area it is in your life, whatever area God's challenging you, whatever area you're facing at this moment, maybe you face something difficult coming in here. Maybe you've been facing something difficult the last month or the last year, and allow God to allow you to put a stretch into that place and say, God, this is what's difficult in my life. This is what's challenging in my life. And God, I'm going to stretch out and I'm going to receive what you have for me because I'm going to believe, God, that you can do it. Come on, church. I once heard a great preacher say it like this. When we obey God, even in the smallest things, we open the doors for him to do work of miracles in our lives. Let me say it again because I want you to get this. When we obey God, even in the smallest things of our life, even in the smallest things, we open the door for him to work miracles in our life. I love what Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says. It says it like this. If you only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. In other words, this verse serves as a reminder to you and I that the obedience of God brings his favor into our life. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight, let's make a praise to God tonight. Tonight we're talking about being stretched. My last one for you is this tonight. One of my favorite parts of this story out of Matthew chapter 14. It's not just when Jesus commands Peter to come, but it's when Peter jumped right out. Here's why. When being stretched, it requires faith. How many of you ever been believing for God for something and God is like, hey, I just need you to have a little faith? Anybody out there? How many of you have been in a place in your life where you're believing God for a healing in your body, or you're believing God for a financial breakthrough, you're believing God for a restored marriage, and God says to you, he goes, I need you just to stretch and have a little faith. Anybody out there? Have you ever been in that place? Let me ask you this question. How many of you are in that place tonight and you're saying, I'm being stretched and I need to believe God for something? Okay. Well, here's what it's going to require. It's going to require your faith. It's going to require you believing that God can do what he says he can do. Because a lot of times we hear it, and we say it, and we read it in our Bible, or we hear it in a small group, we hear it in a teaching, but do we really believe what God can really do in our life? I'm going to challenge you guys tonight with this, because some of you in this room, when I said, how many of you are believing for something and you need a stretch and you need God's faith, a lot of your hands went up tonight. But I'm going to challenge you with this. Are you putting your faith in God or putting your faith in the thing? Because if I put my faith in the thing, it's not going to get me anything. But when I learn to put my faith in God, it brings me everything. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, because many years of my life, I would believe for things and I would put my faith in that thing instead of God. Until God said, what do you believe in this for? You need to believe in me so I can do it. The thing can't do it for you, but I'm the God. I'm eternal. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord. I'm the one who's going to do it for you. So when you put your faith in me, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to unlock those promises that I made for you, and now I'm going to let you walk in those things. So one of my favorite parts about that story was this. Yeah, Jesus commanded. But my favorite part was Peter jumping out. Pastor, why wouldn't Jesus be your favorite part of the command? Listen, I know Jesus is going to command him, but I didn't know if Peter was going to step out. And because Peter stepped out and didn't hesitate, that says to me that he has a lot of faith behind him. And it takes a lot of faith in your stretch to receive what God has for you. How do you see yourself tonight? Do you see yourself as Peter stepping into the water, doing what's impossible? Do you see yourself doing what God asked you to do and is asking you to stretch for tonight? I remember when I was a little boy, I wanted to preach. I probably didn't know what a preacher was. I probably didn't even know how to preach. And I knew I didn't know how to write a message. But I had something inside of me that I wanted to preach. But I was the quietest person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was one who didn't want to say anything. I was one that got nervous when they talked in front of people. I was one that would sweat. I was one that ditched school because I didn't want to share a book report or a project because I was afraid to be in front of people. But I remember as a little boy, I wanted to preach. And I would see myself preaching over and over as a little boy. And I believe this, I would see myself preaching, and I would grow up in church, and I would see different ministers in the church, in the AG church at the time, and I grew up in there, and I saw different prophets coming, and people, evangelists, and all these different people coming and ministering the gospel, and I was like, I want to do that one day. And I didn't know what it cost. But it was something that I had inside of me that I wanted to do. And I remember as a little boy, I would see myself wanting to do that. And I remember as a teenager going on a mission trip, and I lived back east at the time, so going to Mexico was a big thing for us, and I remember going to Mexico, and I remember having the opportunity just to minister. I didn't know what I was doing. I was 13 years old. I was standing on the corner, and I was just talking to people as they came by, and crowds of people started to show up. And I saw myself preaching the gospel. And I remember this later on in life, I would see myself preaching. And I would see myself preaching later on and later on as I got older and time ago. I would see myself preaching. And today, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Yeah. So what am I trying to say here? Listen, I love what John Bevere says in his book, Driven by Eternity. If you haven't read it, you got to get it. John Bevere said it like this. You have to see yourself doing it before you can do it. In other words, you got to see yourself receiving what you're stretching for before you can have it. You got to see yourself in that place and in that position of doing it and receiving it. Why? Because that's what God wants. It's a thing called faith. Faith is the evidence of the things that are unseen, the Word of God says. And I love what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, and it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. A God-sized faith, write this down, a God-sized stretch requires faith. You want to get to that stretch. You want to get to that end of mark. And you want to get to that place. It's going to require some faith in your life. It's going to require you believing for things that you've never believed for. You could be sitting in this place tonight and you could say to yourself, I never owned a house. No one in my family has ever owned a house. Here's the thing. You have a God that owns all the houses. Come on. Amen. And if you have the faith to say, you know what, God? I'm putting my faith in this belief. Now, I'm not saying you don't got to do the work. You got to do the work. Don't get the idea like if I just believe God, he's going to drop it on my porch. Man, if that's you, praise God. But you got to do the work. And if you do the work, here's the thing, it requires the faith. And as you step into the work and you do the work, your faith is going to grow, your faith is going to increase. Listen, you could be in this room tonight and have a broken marriage. Come on, somebody. You can be in this room tonight on the verge, right on the very verge of having a divorce, but yet you could believe God for something and a miracle in your marriage, and God can do it when you step out and say, I got faith, God, and you're going to make this happen. You could be in this place tonight searching and seeking for a job. You've been jobless for a while, and you're being reminded of something. Put your faith in God and not the job that you want. And tonight, you can leave this place and say, God, I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to believe for that job that you're going to have for me. Why? Because here's the thing. God wants us to put our faith in him. God wants us to believe for the things that are unseen. And when you start calling things as though they are, then you'll start seeing them come to pass in your life. And as you do that, guess what? God will drop that thing upon you, and you will say, man, God, how did that happen? And here's how it happened. It happened because of your faith. Faith is a big deal, and saying yes to the stretch requires it. So now that I've talked to you about the stretch, I've talked to you about what it requires, gone over some situations and talked about certain things in the stretch, tonight I want to show you what the stretch looks like. Is that all right? Here's the stretch right here. This is as far as I can go humanly possible. See this? I can't go any further. Well, why? Because my shoulders aren't going to work. It's not going to work like that. Our stretch is right here. Our expansion of our stretch is here. Pastor Mario, can you come up here real quick? Pastor Joel, can you come up here real quick? But I'm going to show you something. Your capacity is only so much so far. But when God steps into the picture, I'm not calling these guys God, so don't get that idea. But when God steps in the picture, guess what? My stretch is only here. He begins to stretch it. Go ahead, stretch a little more. Stretch a little more. Right there. Just don't let, everybody's like, don't let go, don't let go. That's a bigger stretch. So bring it back in real quick. I can only do so much. God, I can only believe for here. God, I want to believe for here. But God, I don't know if I can get to the rest. You can't. Let me be honest with you. You can't yourself. But we have a God who, come on. We have a God who wants to step in and begin to do the stretch. Go a little further. You guys trust it? Okay, right there's good. But then what happens when you do this? The stretch is even further. So I'm not going to shoot anything tonight because you're all like, what is this guy going to do? But if I put something here like a slingshot and I pulled it right here and went like this, it would only go so far. But if I pulled it back a little further, guess what? It's going to go a little further. But if God gets into the picture and God steps into the mix, he's going to stretch it back even further. Further, I'm believing for healing. Here's the stretch. I'm believing for restoration. Here's the stretch. I'm believing for my kids to get saved. Here's the stretch. I'm believing for my marriage to be restored. Here's the stretch. Come on. I'm believing for my finances and a breakthrough. Here's my stretch. I'm believing God to do a miracle in my life. Here's the stretch. And as God stretches you further and further, and you allow him to stretch you, what's going to happen if I let go now? It's going to go further than it did before. So if God is stretching me, and I'm allowing God to stretch every part of me, and I'm allowing him to pull me back even further, here's the thing. When I let go, and God gets us to that place, and he says, you know what? You've believed enough. You know what? You've been obedient enough. You know what? You've had enough faith to believe for this. And now, I'm going to send you out. Come on, guys. Give God a praise. The more we are stretched by God, the more we will do for him. Tonight, I would just like to ask a question in this room tonight. And just see if you're bold enough to be obedient and answer to what God wants you to do. But tonight, if you're in this room and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I'm being stretched for something right now. And I need a little more faith, or I need a little help, and I need to believe God a little more. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a situation you're not wanting to talk about, but you know what it is tonight. And if you're in this place tonight and you're saying to yourself, that's me, I want to pray for you. Can you stand up right now on your feet? Right over, all over this room, if that's you, just stand up on your feet right now, right in this place. Just stand up. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm being stretched. I'm not sure how to get through the stretch. I'm not sure what God wants from me in this stretch. Whew, man, this whole place is almost standing up. But I'm being stretched. I'm in a place tonight where I'm being tested. I'm being tried. And I'm ready to give up. Because I don't know if I can fulfill that stretch in my life. You can't fulfill it yourself. Can I be honest with you? Can I just be real with you? You can't, but God can. So I'd like to pray for you guys tonight. If that's you, just all over this room, just pop your hand up. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, first of all, for all your saints, God, and all your people that are in this place tonight, that have come into this place, Lord, that have surrendered their heart, God, that have come into this place, God, to hear your message, God, to hear your worship, God, to get into your presence, Father. But Lord, you know, Father, what the situations are, God. God, you know, God, what they're dealing with, God. God, you know and where they're being stretched in their life, Father. We don't know, God. We're just preaching what you said to preach, God, and being obedient to what you asked us to be obedient to, God. So tonight I pray right now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, God. Those who are in this room, Father God, that are in this place, God, that said they are being stretched, Lord, and they need you, God, in their stretch, God, and they need you to help them get through, God, the decisions, God. They need a little more faith, God. They need an increase in your spirit, God. They need an increase in your faith, God. I pray tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you, God, would pour out that Spirit, God, upon them right now, Jesus. I pray right now, God, that you would give them the answers, God, to the stretch, God, that they're in, Father. I pray right now, Lord, that as they're being stretched for you tonight, God, as they're being tested, God, as they're being tried, Father God, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would give them peace, God. Show them, Father. Show them, God. Lord, you spoke and said there's someone believing for healing and they're having a hard time believing because of what's been said, God. God, you do it. God, there's people in this room, Lord, you're saying, God, that are struggling with jobs, Lord. Tonight, God, you help them. Open the right door, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise tonight. Did you guys get anything from the Word of God tonight? Come on, let's give God a praise. Guys, get anything tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Joel, come on up.
Amen. Great word, Pastor Donnie. Wasn't that a great word? Stretch beyond our limits. Awesome, awesome. Look at what we were doing in Mexico. Check out this video of our missions update in Mexico, and you will see tremendous things going on in Mexico because of our intentional giving. Check out the screens.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Todd, Mark, Pastor Raul Moya from Jalisco. We're checking in here live from Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And Rock Church, we want to say thank you for all your support, all your help. We're getting ready to graduate 21 students from our first school that you helped plant here in Mexico. It's an honor and a privilege. Mark, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity of taking this project into the church, Templo Restauración y Gloria, here in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. God bless all the personnel and pastors, all the people that got this together in order to provide the tools for the ministry on each country that this is reaching at. So blessings to all. Thank you very much in name of Templo Restauración y Gloria. Today is a celebration day. 21 of the students that initiated this project are now graduating. Finally, for the study of these theological studies. So thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Pastor Moya.
Amen. Praise God for this. Thank God for the Rock Church. God bless you guys for all your help. Thank God for your ministry and keep reaching people. God bless you guys. Much love.
Love you guys. Thank you, Rock.
Wow, isn't it amazing what we get to do? Pastor, I've never been to Mexico. I actually need to go with Todd because my donor is from Jalisco. Next time he goes, I want to go. It's going to be amazing. Hey, intentional giving is we sow seed in the ground and God spreads it all over the world. Here at The Rock, we call it The Rock Church and World Outreach Center because your tithes and offerings go all over the world. We just got done hosting an ISOM conference and we had people all over the world here. It was amazing to see how far our seed goes. How many are ready to give tonight? How many are ready to sow seed into The Rock and into the nations? So if you have a physical offering and you're needing an envelope, a usher is standing right to your perimeter and will hand that physical offering to you. If you want to do it digitally on the screen behind me, many, many ways to give. The easiest way is the Rock Church app. Download it. You could see upcoming events. You can look at our online messages. You can give securely wherever you're at. It's the easiest way to give. I like that the God of this universe has blessed the Rock Church and World Outreach Center with our obedient offering that would be sowing seed beyond us. We will never get to meet some of those people in Mexico, some of those graduates, some of those people in Thailand, or we're all over the world, the globe, the gospel's being preached. But we get to do it. Right behind the screens right now is a missions, what you call a missions declaration. I'm not having to stand, having asked you to stand, but you could read this with me. It says, as I give to build the kingdom of God, we are a local church with a global heart and desire to see people saved here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world. We declare open doors into the nations, resources and wisdom, grace for the missionaries and churches, people to be blessed both physically and spiritually, open hearts to receive the gospel. And everybody said, amen and amen. So as you prepare your offerings, I want to pray over it. Father God, I pray online, on campus, all over this weekend, those that sowed seed and those that are sowing seed tonight. Lord, you know how hard people work. You know how hard it is to give and how you, like, and we heard tonight, how you're stretching us, not to be stingy, but to be generous, not to be holding back, but stretch it. Because, Father, in that same text that Pastor Donnie was reading in Matthew 14, because they got to see Peter and Jesus walking on water, you declared and unleashed miracles all over. They got to see an abundant harvest of souls and miracles right after that faith declaration. So, Father God, as we sow seed, let us see miracles, signs, and wonders. Show up, Father God, in unexpected places. You know the hearts of our people. You know the hearts of the givers and the sowers, Lord. And I pray that that seed will go planted deep into the ground and you will abundantly supply for every one of their needs. Like you declare in the book of Psalms that, Father God, never seen the righteous forsaken or their descendants begging bread. Thank you, Father God, for doing that in this house. Thank you for every tither. Thank you for every giver. Thank you, thank you. We are deeply grateful for everything that you bring, Father, here and what we get to see beyond our own limits and our as you stretch our financial positions and conditions to trust you with what we have in our hand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Awesome. Let's give the Lord a hand. I only got a few announcements. We have Pastor Andrew Kabbalah here with us March 22nd and 23rd. He's going to be here all weekend. He's a special communicator. He has a gift and anointing to declare miracle signs and wonders. He himself was healed of cancer, and God did supernatural things, and he will be declaring that over us. So bring your friends and family. And that Sunday night, we're having a special healing service here at The Rock. If you know somebody that's sick or ailing or needs a touch from God, that Sunday night, the 23rd, he will be here. I want you to bring your friends and family is fill up the house with God's people so he can declare and see. We could see God's healing power through that healing service. Also, we have an outreach we call Loving My City. Over 200 volunteers already have signed up, and we're doing what we call a shoe drop. A shoe drop is we're showing up to an elementary school, and we're bringing brand new pairs of tennies for all their students because of the generosity of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center and sponsorship. If you want to donate to Shoe Drop and you're unable to go, right behind the screens is how you could get to do that. Or if you want to sign up, just call the office. There's no QR code there tonight, but if you want to be a participant of that outreach, please connect with us online, and there's a way to sign up. I have a couple video announcements, and then Pastor Donnie has something special to close this service with. God bless you.
Things going on around the Rock Church, isn't there? If you have parents, if you have children in here, your youth in here, get them signed up for camp. It'll change their life forever. Tonight, before we dismiss, I just, you know, you guys have been great listening to the message, and I believe God spoke to you, but I just want to see where everybody's at in this place, because I don't know everybody in this place, but Jesus does. And what I want to know is, you know, tonight, if it was your last night here on earth, and you walked out of these doors, you got in your car and you left. You got in a bad car accident. In no way am I wishing this or hoping this happens in any way. Hear my heart on this. How many know life happens and things happen in life? And so tonight, if that was you in this place and you got up out of your seat, you walked out of the doors, your heart stopped, you got in the car, you got in a car accident, and you woke up, would you end up in heaven or would you end up in hell? Ask yourself that question. You might be saying to yourself tonight, "Why? Well, I'm a good person, and I've never really done anything wrong in my life, or I've never done anything bad in my life. You know, I haven't robbed anyone, I haven't stole from anybody. I'm a really, really good person." Listen, nowhere in the Word of God does it say because you're good that you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere. You might be saying to yourself, "Well, I go to church on Wednesdays and I go to church on Sundays." But let me be honest with you. A lot of people go to church on Sunday. A lot of people go to church on Wednesday. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say because you go to church and you're a church attender that you're going to make it to heaven. Nowhere in the Word of God. Well, Pastor, you know, I was told by a family member because they're all saved and they're Christians, and I am, listen, nobody could be saved for you. This is a decision that you have to make in your own life. This is you coming to Jesus and saying, "I want a relationship with you tonight." You coming to a place of surrender and saying, "It's not my will, God, but it's your will in my life. God, I don't want to walk out of this place and not know that tonight. I don't want to leave in my car and get in a car accident. I don't want to die tonight and end up in hell, but I want the opportunity to stand before you, Jesus." See, a lot of people want that opportunity. And here's the thing. The sad thing is a lot of people believe that They're going to have that opportunity to stand before Jesus and they're going to hear, well done. But are they really? Because my Bible says they have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just be a Sunday or Wednesday churchgoer. Not just be a good person. But they got to have a relationship with Jesus. In other words, this, they got to invite Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And so tonight, maybe you're in this room and you're saying to yourself, I'm not sure where I would go tonight. I'm not sure if it was my last night here on earth, if I would stand before Jesus and he'd say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or if he would say, depart from me, I never knew who you were. Because you're only going to hear one of two things. You're either going to hear well done or depart. But tonight it's your opportunity. And tonight I want to give you the greatest invitation of your life that you could ever receive. And that's to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Pastor, I don't know if I can do this. Why not? Some of us have tried everything else in life and nothing has worked for us. Well, Pastor, you know, those Christians, they're just weirdos. Listen, some people have made it like that, but that's not who Christians really are. It's sad that we have to deal with what Hollywood says and what the blogs say and what the social media says, but that's not what real Christians are. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm ready to give up things in my life. Here's the thing. Why not? We're quick to give up other things, but we're not quick to follow Jesus. Come on. Let me frame this for you real quick. Can I frame it for you real quick? Let me show you two different pictures. Picture number one is this. You went to church tonight. You got the message. You heard worship. You heard the word. Had an encounter with Jesus. You heard Pastor Donnie say, I'm going to give you the count of three to say if you want to receive Jesus or not. And you're saying to yourself, I don't know. I don't know if I could do this. And in picture number one, he says, one, two, three, bang, like that. And you find yourself not lifting your hand and not surrendering yourself to God. But you find yourself in a place of, I'm just not ready. But what if tonight you walked out of this building and a tragedy took place and you end up dying and you stood before Jesus and he said, do you remember tonight when you were sitting in church? Do you remember the worship that you heard? Do you remember the message you heard? Do you remember that loudmouth preacher when he said he was going to count to three, one, two, three, and go bang like this? Do you remember when he did that? And he asked you to raise your hand for surrendering? Do you remember saying, no, you weren't ready? Well, now because you weren't ready, I can't receive you in my kingdom. So depart from me, I never knew who you were. Now let's look at frame number two. Picture number two could go like this tonight. You sat in church, got into the presence of God, worship was phenomenal, you heard the message, you watched the videos, you heard the camp announcements, you heard Pastor Donnie say, I'm going to count to three, one, two, three, go bang like this. And if you want to surrender your heart and your whole life to Jesus, you want a relationship with him, raise your hand. And you said to yourself, you know what? That's me tonight. I don't know where I would go. But I want to make sure tonight that I'm going to go to heaven if something happened in my life. If a tragedy took place or a car accident or I went home and got sick and didn't come out of the hospital, I want to make sure that I stand before Jesus and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, I'm going to throw this invitation out to you tonight. And I want you to really look inside of your heart and your life. Do you want to be in frame number one? Or would you want to be in frame number two? Remember, frame number one, you didn't make it. Frame number two, guess what? You made it. So here's what I need to know. If you're in this room tonight, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say one, two, three, bang, just like that. When you hear my hand go bang like that, all I want you to do is raise your hand all over this place. You're saying to yourself, Pastor, why do I got to raise my hand? If I raise my hand, I might be embarrassed. Listen, you might be embarrassed. But can we look at the trade-off for a moment? The trade-off is this. Raise my hand, receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, or deny Jesus, not raise my hand, end up in hell for eternity. I think we'd much rather say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, Jesus. I want to receive you tonight. Well, why do you have me raise my hand? Here's why. The Bible says this. If you confess me before the Father, then I'll confess you. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. In other words, this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. I'm a man. There's others in here. Confession is a pop of a hand. But it says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. So who should do this tonight if you've never done this before? If you're in this place tonight and you've said, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And if you're in this place tonight and you know, in your heart, you know that if you died, you wouldn't make it to heaven. You know that without a doubt. Who else should do this tonight? Maybe you're in this place tonight and you're saying, I think I might make it to heaven. I hope I might make it to heaven. Listen, you can't think your way into heaven or hope your way into heaven. You just got to say, Jesus, here I am. And you just got to receive it. Who else should do this tonight? If you're in this place and you're a lukewarm Christian, what is a lukewarm Christian? A little in, a little out. Token prayer here and there. You never were full-heartedly sold out for the things of God or God. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 3, it says it like this. When I come back, it's not a matter of if I come back. He says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it. So if you're in this room tonight, you're a lukewarm Christian, a little in, a little out. Maybe you gave your heart to Jesus before. Maybe you were at a Harvest Crusade, a camp, a youth camp, a children's camp. Maybe you're younger here. Maybe you're at a concert. You gave your heart to him, but you've never fully became the Christian. And you lived a lukewarm life. Tonight is your night of rededication to say, I want Jesus in my life. So here's what I'm going to do all over from the front to the back to the side of this room. I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to go one, two, three, bang, like that. When you hear my hand go bang like this, if you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. If you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I'm not sure if I'd make it to heaven. If you're in this room tonight and you're saying, you know what? That's me and I want to make sure. Tonight, all I want you to do is pop your hand up on three. One, two, three, bang. Anybody in this room, anyone in this room, just pop your hand up all over this place. Help me out here. One, two, three, help me out. Four, five, six. Six wise people, is there anymore? You're pointing somewhere. Seven, got you. Eight, nine, got you. 10, got you way over there. Any more? 11, 12, 13, got you. Is there any more? Are your hands up right here? Right here, these three right here, your hands up? 14, 15, 16. Anyone else? Help me out here, help me out. Anyone else? I got you, ladies. I got you. Thank you. 16 wise people. Is there any more tonight? All over this room. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But if that's you, just pop your hand up. I think I got. I see you. 17, 18. Got you. I got you, guys. Go ahead and put your hands down. I got you. Thank you. Is there anyone else I didn't get? 18 wise people. Is there any more? All over. Just pop your hand up. Maybe your heart's beating at your chest, man. Just surrender to God. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm thinking about where I'm going to go eat after church. No. Let's get right with Jesus first. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I wish this guy would shut up. That's definitely you. Is there anyone else? Just pop your hand up. 18 wise people. Is there anyone? Is that a hand back there? I can't tell. Anyone else? Okay. Let me give it a few more moments. The Spirit of God is still working on people. Any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a countdown from five. If you're in this place tonight and you're saying, oh, it's not too late, just pop your hand up right where you're at. Five, four, three, two, one. Well, let's give God a praise for 18 wise people tonight. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give God a praise. Man, isn't God good? Here's what I want you to do. I want everyone in this room just to go ahead and stand up with me. All 18 of you tonight that said tonight you wanted to give your heart and your life to Jesus, I would like to meet you and I would like to say a prayer with you. So here's what I want to do is I want to invite you all to come to the front. Grab your purses, grab your coats, grab your friends. If you have someone next to you, nudge them and say, I saw your hand, let's go. And come on up, let's give them a hand as they come up, church. Come on, if that was you tonight, come on up, guys, come on. They're coming. Come on, if that was you tonight, come on up. Come on, if that was you tonight, let's take a step of faith, come on. By faith and obedience, come on, just take a step. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. It's all good. Come on up. You're still coming. Come on, give me a hand, church. Come on, church, give me a hand. They're still coming. Come on. Come on up, guys. If there's any more, just come on up. If that was you tonight. You said you want to give your life and heart to Jesus. Or you didn't raise your hand. Come on up. You're not too late. Come on up tonight. If there's any more, just come on up. We're cheering for you. Come on. Wow. Come on, put a smile on your face. You're doing the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life, and that's have a relationship with Jesus and give your heart to him. So here's what I want to do tonight is this. Is first I want to applaud you guys for coming to a place and saying, thank you, Jesus. I want to receive you. I want to applaud you personally. Why? Because you took a huge step of faith to step out and walk up here. Some of you probably had in your mind, I don't want to do it. I don't want to walk. I'll just do it in my chair. No, but you took that step of faith. And when you took this step of faith, here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to meet you in your life. So here's what we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You already made the confession that said you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Well, tonight I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. And do me a favor. Listen. If you miss a word or two, don't beat yourself up and be like, I'm not going to make it. No, you're going to make it. Remember, it's not a mouth thing. It's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. Okay? So I'm going to say these words. And I want you guys to, oh, come on. So you're not too late. If you're still in your chair thinking about this, come on. It's your time. Come on up. So I'm going to say these words in this prayer. And you're going to repeat it after me. As a matter of fact, everyone in this place is going to repeat it as well. Because guess what? We're going to be family. So I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And again, don't worry about if you miss a word or two. It's all in your heart. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. God's got good things for you guys. And after we say this prayer, I'm going to talk about a program we have here that I'm going to really suggest you guys go through and work through because it's an amazing thing. And then I want to make a statement to you guys. Is that right? So here's what I want to do is I want everybody to repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Jesus, I've decided to follow you the rest of my life, leaving hell behind. Holy Spirit, empower me. Fill me up. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome. You guys are beautiful people. Amazing people. But here's what I want to say to you guys is this. We have a program here called SPT. You're like, what in the world is that? Spiritual personal trainer. You ever go to the gym and not have a personal trainer? You ever done sports and you need someone to train you? It's the same thing you have here. Because here's why. You gave your heart to Jesus tonight. But I can guarantee you, even while you're up here saying the prayer, the enemy is telling you it's not real. Matter of fact, when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to look the same. You're going to smell the same. But what you need to know is this. You had a heart transformation. And what we want to do here is we want to offer you a friend to come alongside of you for 5 weeks and teach you basic things out of the Word of God, because it wasn't until I learned basic things out of the Word of God that I was growing in my relationship with God. But then here's what I want to challenge you guys with. We have services on Sundays. We have services on Wednesdays. We have young adults on every other Friday. We have youth services on Wednesdays and Sundays. We got women's ministry services in the morning and twice a month in the PMs. We got many services here. Many different things for you to be involved in and to come. So my challenge to you is this. Here's my challenge. Give us 1 year of your life. You're like, Pastor, that's a lot. No, it's not. We've given 1 year to a lot of things in our life, right? Give us 1 year. What do I mean by that? Come to a service. Come to church. Get plugged in. And I want to make this declaration to you. Actually, I want to make this promise to you. You give us 1 year of your life and you watch what Jesus does and that 1 year of your life. 1 year. So here's what we're going to do now is this. My friend over here, Pastor Joel, is a great man, awesome man of God. Go ahead, and he's waving at you. He's going to go ahead and lead you to the side, and he's going to talk to you guys about the SPT program and get you guys plugged in. Is that all right? So go ahead and take a chair and walk with Pastor Joel. Come on, let's give him a hand. Well, church, isn't God amazing? Thank you, guys. I know God has showed up. God is in this place. Every service, I want to invite you guys, keep coming out. Keep getting filled with the Word of God. Hey, I want to pronounce a blessing over you guys tonight. So go ahead and lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I thank you, God, for your Word tonight, God. I pray, God, that they would have your Word in their heart, God, that they would remember, Father God, to walk in obedience, God, that they would remember, Father God, to require His faith, God, that tonight they would remember, God, to enlarge their tent, Father. And Lord, I pray this, God. I pray a special blessing over every life that's in this room, God. Bless them coming and bless them going. And everything, God, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Elite Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys.
What a blessing.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.